Some of you may need an introduction since you haven't seen very much of me. So I'm Glenn Robitaille. I am currently, for the last 22 years, by various descriptions, the Director of Ethics and Spiritual Care at Waypoint Center. And before I get any further down the road, I just want to say hello to Jana Sharp and her family, and say I hope Sadie, you're feeling better. I was hoping she'd be here because she worked as part of our team for a number of years and knows Austin very well. So I wanted to say that first, I'm sorry that she couldn't be here today. She would have a lot to contribute. Secondly, you notice that there are a number of us who are wearing orange shirts. Tomorrow is the day in Canada when we celebrate our Indigenous people and the contributions they've made. It's called Orange Shirt Day, so we're wearing ours a little early, but I will be wearing it tomorrow as well. Before I introduce Austin, I would like to do a land acknowledgement. Some of you may wonder why we're doing that. I'm going to give you a land acknowledgement very current to our area. So let me begin by saying there have been a number of treaties that have been made with the Indigenous people of our area going back to well before when we had the military established down here. So this land once was fully belonging to Indigenous people, mostly the Huron-Wendat at that time. But there have been treaties made all the way up to what's known as the Williams Treaty in the early 1920s. And every single one of them have been broken. And so over a period of time, the land moved all the way back to where now the local Beau Soleil First Nation has a little segment of land at what we know as Cedar Point that belongs to them. Then they have all those islands out there, including Christian Island, or Chimnasing, where Mary works, Hope Island, Beckwith Island, Beau Soleil Island, Giant's Tomb. Those were all part of the Beau Soleil First Nation ownership. Originally, you were supposed to be on Beau Soleil Island, but you decided that your ancestors decided that Christian Island was a better location. So that's where the main habitation has been, that and at Cedar Point. So we acknowledge, when in doing this land acknowledgement, that we are privileged to be on the land of what we know as the Three Fires Confederacy, which is made up of the Ojibwe, Potawatomi, and the Odawa nations, or what they know as the Three Fires Confederacy. The Haudenosaunee are also in this area. You may have gotten fish and chips up at Mrs. H's Fish and Chips up on Wata. That's part of the Haudenosaunee nation. In our local area, there's the Rama, the Chippewas of Rama, the Chippewas of Georgina Island as well. And so we celebrate the partnerships we have with those and everything that we do in our area and the privilege we have to be on their land, which they have generously allowed us to assume. I now want to tell you that as part of that, Austin has been a healer with us that have been working with us for, I think, 14 years now, right? 14 years. Austin is a third degree Madewin healer. And so you can appreciate what that means is that he's got about 30 years of training in his role. It'd be the same of what it would take to become like a really high-profile theologian in the Christian tradition. He's now going for his fourth degree. So very well respected in his own community. He is a sweat lodge conductor, which is also something you just don't do. You just don't build a sweat lodge and start doing sweats. There's all kinds of stories and traditions that go with that, and it takes a while to learn. I think it took you 25 years or so, right, before they granted him that honor. He's a pipe carrier, which is another thing. You just don't grab a pipe and start holding groups and smoking a pipe. There's a lot of history and a lot of meaning that goes behind it, and it was probably close to 25 years when you got your first pipe, right?
25 years ago, and John and presented me at
John
five,
Rice, yes.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
So. Right. So we have a sweat lodge at Waypoint that Austin often leads patients into sweats there. He does drumming circles. I've been privileged to sit at the big drum with Austin on a number of occasions. We do pipe ceremonies. All of these things are led by Austin. And I just want to point out that these aren't things that he just does for people who are Indigenous. anyone who has an appreciation for the stories and the healing ministry that he has will work with Austin. He welcomes them all equally. So it is really my great privilege that he would come here today to speak with us and share something of his story. And he's going to include me where he wants to, if he does. That's how I'm going to leave it. And he's going to tell us his story in the way that he wants to share it. The only thing I want to say, and this I didn't share with you first, Austin, but I know you, so I know we can do it. At Waypoint, as part of our Equity, Diversity, and Inclusion Initiative, we have what's known as the Human Library Experience. And that's when people are able to hear someone share their story, much as you're going to hear Austin share his. And then when they're done, there are no wrong questions. It's a safe place. As long as someone is asking a sincere question, you don't have to worry about it being stupid or hurting his feelings or anything like that. If you have a question that you want an answer to, you want some understanding of that, you know, please feel free to ask Austin. He will share his thoughts on it, and he'll still love you. So be risky. You know, take the chances. I hope everybody today who has any questions at all about why we do the things we do in the way we do them will have opportunity to hear something about that. So, Austin, my friend, my brother.
Bueno, bonjour. Thank you so much. Bueno, bonjour, Nigan Kutnijnikas Magdalem, Dal Chimigwejmapi, Yimajidiagmapi, Nimelgamos. Thank you, brothers, sisters. Thank you for inviting me in this beautiful, in your beautiful community. It's when I came through those doors, I felt the love and warmth as I came in, and people are handshaking and seeing Glenn and his beautiful wife, Debbie, and how wonderful and how privileged I am to be here today. And in that way, how I look at life today is that beautiful way of life. As I said in my prayers this morning, I asked the Creator that I be a bit better person than I was yesterday and live the best way I can today. As we talked, as I was listening to our brother here minister that, and live like when Jesus walked on this earth to be Christ-like. But you know, that's how I look at life today, is I live in that beautiful way of life. I love this way, how you set up this beautiful place. You know, it talks, I look at it as the north, south, east, and west is the four directions of man. In our creation story, there are four colors of man that were created. It was the white man, yellow man, red man, and black man. And we're all given these beautiful gifts, you know, and we all have those. And part of them was in my culture, we call them the seven grandfather teachings, is love, respect, honesty, humility, and truthfulness, courage. That's how we look at life today. And just to be yourself. And, you know, as I reflect my life, how it came to be, tomorrow is this very special day for my community. They're unveiling a monument for our brothers and sisters that went to residential school, and some of my brothers and sisters, my own family will be there. I remember my dad talking about how his child was ripped from him, you know, and they were children. They weren't adults. They were children. They were kids, 2, 3, 4 years in the up to 12, 13 years old. That's what happened to our culture. They were taken right away. You know, and some of our sisters here today were unable to ever see their children again. Some of them passed away and they were never told. You know, and they say, 5, 6 years ago, those bodies were found in BC. They were never found. People knew they were there. The churches knew they were there. They weren't found, you know. They just said they hid them. And so, as my Auntie Merle always told me, is tell the truth. Sometimes it's painful and it hurts, but that's us as human beings. We have to have those human emotions, how we look at life. So that's part of how I didn't want to start that way, but that's just the way I'm feeling right now and how privileged I am to be here. My own story. I grew up on Christian Island. I was there till I was about 17, 18 years old. It was challenging. My dad and my parents, we had 12 kids, you know, and back in the 40s and 50s, it was really hard for people to have, my dad and my mother struggled every day to feed us. And you know, when Christianity came to our reserve, it was like right down the middle here, Catholics on one side, Protestants on one side. We didn't have a choice what denomination we were going to follow. They just said, you live on that side of the road, you're Catholics. You're on the other side, you're Protestants. Okay. So, you know, and going to church, I learned about church. I had long hair, and they cut my hair right off. And hair is a very special thing in our culture. There's only three people in your life that can touch your hair, is your sister, your mother, right, or your wife. That's how sacred our hair is. And they just shaved it right off, eh? So, yeah, that was sort of trying to integrate us into their world and how life was, you know. And I remember at 5 years old getting my head shaved and everything else and getting strapped because I didn't know English, right? You know, and a lot of my brothers and sisters, we'd go home with bruises and you know, we'd tell mom and dad what we did, and we get punished at home too. So we got it both ways, right? You know, so how I look at life today, that's a beautiful way of life today. How I'm going to jump around here and back and forth. You know, life on our reserve, I remember being 8 years old. My dad and my mom, they got into a really bad fight. They had a problem with it. They drank a bit. I remember my dad getting really violent and throwing my mom against the wall, and my mom gathering a sheet at 2 o'clock in the morning and taking us to my uncle's place on a Saturday night about 2 o'clock in the morning. We slept under a tree. My mom didn't want to tell her brother because my uncle would have went and beat my dad up for doing that, right? And that's the way it was on weekends. You know, every weekend was like that. So you'd see all this stuff, and sort of it was traumatizing for a little boy. And my sisters and all the family, all people on the reservations here on Christian Island, you know, and how we seen all that circle every day. So I was able to be that circle breaker in my community, in my life, in my family. And at 9 years old, I had my first drink. At 12 years old, I got drunk. I came home one day. I stole a bottle of wine off my dad, moonshine. And I went down to the lake and went there and drank it by myself, drank half a bottle, came home, sat in the middle of the floor and told my mom and dad I was drunk at 12 years old. And that's where my life started. That's where I started. That's where I started chasing that high, that first drink, eh? Gave me liquid courage. It felt really good inside, you know? It gave me courage. And so I struggled with alcohol and drugs till I was about 19 years old. I say my mom and dad had an alcoholic problem, a really severe one, and that was me. And I remember going over here to the Penetang Hospital where my mother was. She said, "Sonny boy, please quit drinking. Stop." You know, at 18 years old, I said, "Mom, I don't know if I can." You know, and so at 21 years old, at 18 years old, I went down to Toronto and got a job, and I paid myself way. It took me 25 years to get my grade 12 diploma. I went to here MSS, and I got my grade 12 diploma after 25 years after leaving that high school. And I kind of lied. I went to my employment counselor back then, and I enrolled in college. I took retail meat cutting in Toronto. It was called Castle Loma Campus in Toronto. And I became a butcher. My dad was a butcher, my brother was a butcher, so it kind of felt natural for me to butcher. And that was the best job. I still do that today. I love it. It's something that I look forward to when I retire in 10 months. I've got this plan, you know. And anyway, so, and I was struggling. I was really struggling. My mom and dad, I thought they hated me and they kicked me out. It was called tough love at that time. And I was so angry. I said, "Mom and Dad, I wish you hadn't died." You know, and I was so angry. I was angry at myself, but actually, you know, and I told my mom and dad I moved into a rooming house in Toronto. It was in Pape and Danforth. I lived with the Greek community. What a beautiful people down there. I was exposed to have beautiful churches down there and how wonderful that was. I was seeking something. So I jumped up ahead up again. At 12 years old, I wanted to be a priest. I went and asked the father, hey, father, I want to be a priest. I like what you're doing. I want to help my people in my community. He said, okay, he's Aussie. He says, I want you to be good for 30 days. Don't say no prayer. Don't say anything bad. Don't anything bad. He said, okay. So every weekend I went to confession, bless me, Father, for I have sinned, and okay, blah, 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 give me 10 commandments and 10 Our Fathers, Hail Marys. And so, sorry, not commandments, excuse me, Hail Marys. So at 30 days, I went back to him, and he got me angry because I said, Father, I did everything. I was a really good little boy. I did everything, blah, blah, blah. And he says, no. And he says, Father, why are you? I said, I'm doing really well. No, you didn't. And he kept, I say, I guess the word is ghastly, gaslight me. And he says, see, you're getting angry. That's a sin. So I was taught guilt, shame, remorse, bitterness. I was going to go to hell and never see my family again, in purgatory and all this stuff, right? You know, it was fear, shame-based way how I was taught. So I carried that. I was an altar boy. I stole 10 cents because the older altar boys are going to beat me up. I was probably about 13 years old when I stole that 10 cents out of the collection. So keep your collection money away. So, you know, I felt the guilt and, you know, everything that happened to me, I blame God because I stole 10 cents from the church. I searched 10 cents. So as I was growing up, going to church, and my brother was a very spiritual man, and my oldest brother, second oldest brother, because I only knew my oldest brother, Brian. I only met him once at 5, 6 years old because he was taking the residential school as well. You know, and so I didn't really know my oldest brother. And so all these things that transpired in my life is all that guilt and shame. And living at Pape and Danforth in my own, I jumped ahead. My brother and my sister, my brother and his wife took me in for a couple months, and I got a job. And again, like I said, I went to a retail meat cutting place. I went to Pape and Danforth in a rooming house. And you know, and my journey started into more of alcohol and drug abuse and, you know, all that, all those things. It took me. I always searched that first high I always got. I was always searching for that first high, you know, and you'd never find that. You're never going to get that back again, you know. You're never going to find it. That's what my friend was telling me. And he introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous. So I went with him, I jumped ahead again. My uncle is a spiritual man himself, and he took me to AA at 13 years old. He took me to Detroit for 2 months, and I went to Detroit. That's why I'm a big Tiger fan today. You know, we made the playoffs. We beat the Jays. You know, they're not in the playoffs, right? Yeah. My Tigers are in there. You know, so I was there 2 months in Detroit and loved Detroit and people there and how wonderful that way of life was. And he said to me, he says, Ozzy, one of these days you're going to, because he went to all the correctional services in Ontario. He said, you're going to end up here. I'm going to come and see you one day if you keep living the lifestyle. I said, I don't know. He says, I'm only 12, 13 years old. And, you know, and I didn't know he did that for my mother, his sister. You know, and to take me and try to scare me straight, I guess. Anyway, so I went, again, jumping ahead, going into AA, and walked down those steps in Agent Court in a place called Chartwell. There's a church called Chartwell. And here we go again, another church. At that time, I had a problem with God. I hated him. And so I struggled with that, and I went down there, and there was beautiful people. I said AA meeting downstairs. So I went down there, and went down, I walked down, looked at people, and, you know, they're just old people in there, you know. I'm 21 years old, you know, and You know, they welcomed, they put their hand out, welcome. I said, my name's Austin. I think I have a problem with alcohol. And they said, you're in the right place, brother. And they gave me a coffee, a half cup of coffee, because my hand was shaking. And they gave me, we all, on the reserve, we call these funeral sandwiches. And I love egg salad. Right? I love egg salad. And they're sitting there, and I didn't hear anything at the meeting. I was just looking at everybody. Look at all these people, you know. And I think disco was finishing at that time. There was 40-year-old people with pink hair, blue hair, purple hair. It was all different hairs. And, am I in the right place here? It's like, you know, and they told me there was a meeting on Tuesday. This was on Thursday, and I went down and Tuesday, discussion meeting. I didn't know what that was, but I went anyway. But as a friend of mine, I met a friend there and gave me his phone number. He says, what are you doing on the weekend? I don't know. I says, probably go to a bar and see my friends. He said, no. He says, I'll pick you up Saturday. So he picked me up Saturday. He took me around, went to a couple of meetings, and I started my journey into AA and NA, and how beautiful that way of life was. And I remember my mother and my auntie. My mother and auntie came over. I completed 365 days of continuous sobriety. And we were so poor. My mom and dad could never afford a birthday cake for any of our kids. My brothers and sisters never had a birthday cake. It was the people of Alcoholics Anonymous God gave me my first birthday cake at 22 years old, because I had 1 year of sobriety. You know how difficult that was. And it was, the blessing was my mom and my auntie came. You know, they came on the bus from Christian Island. You know, I picked them up. And sorry I jumped ahead again, but it's going to happen. I started working for McLean Hunter Printing, 401 Young Street. And, you know, my boss, they said, oh, we know First Nation people drink a lot. Do you have an alcoholic problem or drug problem? I said, no, sir, I'm going to AA while you start Thursday. So I was working there on the machine for about three and a half months. I'm working away because I like working with machinery. So I was working on a binder that they're called folios in paper. It was a short binder. It was only 6 folios, 12 pages. And I was working on that, and I see these suits, and I see them over there, and they're talking to the foreman, and the foreman says, oh, he's over there, and they're looking at me. I said, oh, no, what did I do? I guess they're going to fire me because I'm an alcoholic. And they come over, and it says, the foreman gets another person, hey, come over here, you're going to do his job. And you know what? They took me on a 12-step. They took me to an AA meeting because they were members themselves. It's like these guys were in suits, you know. I called them, the suits, right, you know, and They were salesmen, and they told me, they said, you know how we got our clients? We used to get our clients, and we take them out for a bar and drink. You know, that's how we made sales, right? You know, and they said, today we changed that way of life, and how our sales have gone higher. And, you know, they said, anytime you want to take time off or you want to leave early for a meeting, anytime you want to go to an AA meeting, go right ahead. The boss, your foreman, they all know. And we gave them permission, gave you permission to leave any time if you need to go. And I had a sponsor at that time. I got a sponsor, and the sponsor really guided me through those 12 steps of AA and to live that beautiful way of life and how I am today. And being able to be the person I am today. So I was about 5 years in the program, got my 5-year medallion. My mom and dad passed by that time. And, you know, I was really happy that I tried to do this for my mom and my family to stop drinking, but I had to hit my own bottom. Austin had to hit his own bottom, right? When I came into AA, I didn't have a girlfriend. I didn't have a wife. I didn't lose all that stuff, eh? But what I lost was my self-respect. I lost Austin. But you beautiful ladies taught me love. You taught me love, compassion, understanding, and forgiveness. That's what you gave me. You taught to love Austin again, where I did not love Austin. I thought I was incapable of loving another human being. But you brought me that. In my culture, we talk about the physical, mental, spiritual, and emotional. And I was broken. I was totally broken. You know, I was ready to die. Many times I walked across that the biaducts. I wanted to commit suicide, to jump. I tried that 3 times. I tried with a rifle in my mouth, and they didn't go off. And, you know, I guess there was something there for me, you know, and because God was looking after me. In my culture, calling the Creator, Jim Nido. And so how life has turned about for me is I came back to my culture, still balancing Western teachings with First Nation teachings, my teachings, how I look at life today, and how my elders taught me to stop using this, because Austin, you use your brain, you can rationalize and justify everything. He says anything you want. When you start speaking from the heart, that's when life started to change for me. You know, I use my 5 senses when I use my heart. How beautiful that way of life. And being able to live that wonderful way of life. I was telling Glenn at one time, too, as I was being bullied. I was being bullied at McLean Hunter Printing by this little Italian guy. And he says, he keeps bullying me, and my friends give a hostile. He said, why do you take that shit from him? And I said, it's him, right? You know, and kept bullying me, going, whoa, go home, back to reservation. I said, well, this is my land. This is my home. I am home. This is my land. I am home. And he kept, this was in the cafeteria. And he kept coming and forcing himself on me, go home, native, go Indian. You know, and I learned that from school, you know. What the teacher is, you're not going to amount to anything. You're just a dirty little Indian boy, right? That's what I learned in school and all this stuff, right? Anyway, I said, okay, I'm going to teach him a lesson today, right? And I kind of knew he had a wig on, eh? So he come right up to me. I wait for people there, and he's just standing there. He's doing a show in front of people, and 60, 70 people in our cafeteria. And I just grabbed his hair and ran around the thing, you know, I'm going like, hey. I guess it was kind of glued on, kind of ripped his skin, right? And I'm running around, people are laughing, and he's going to beat me up, and I'm just laughing away, running around, right? Next morning, I am going to HR. Well, you know, he what's that word again? File agreements or something got reported me, right? I was going to get reprimanded, eh? And you know what? All those people said, no, he's been bullying Austin for 6-7 months. And I guess Austin couldn't take it out, so he just ripped it off. You know, after about 4 years later, we became best friends. You know, so yeah. So that I told Glenn that, and how that way of life was. I said, oh, well, I can just, you know, I was taught by my brothers that men don't cry. So if I got beat up, they'd beat me up too. Stop crying, right? You know, the harder I cried, the more harder I got hit. That's the way that tough love was back home on the reservation. But being the person who I am today, going back to my culture, going back to my culture and understanding those beautiful ways of life, at 40 years old, I was raised up to be a community elder by the women. The men don't raise you up, it's the women. Because they see how you are, how you're living, how you treat your other people. And you beautiful men that are here, men for the first time, for the love that we have for our children, is the same way in our teachings, how I was taught, how each one of us loves our Creator, our God, or Jim Nido, as I say, Jim Nido. And I'm sure that maybe your little child, maybe about 4 years, no, 6, 7, 8 years, months old, you know, and you're teaching them how to walk, or you give them a ride on your foot. I was dragging my daughter like that all over, right? You know, and that's sort of that recreation part in our culture, how we love our Creator. We don't want to let him go. How we love our God, how we love Jesus, right? How we love that. So we don't want to let him go. And that's how I look at life today. And learning about who I am and the challenge I had every day. And and I learned how to pray again. And as I said this morning, that I said my prayer this morning coming up and having coffee with my wife. She beat me twice in cards this morning at 6:30. So, and that was a beautiful thing. That too is, I didn't meet my wife in Alcoholics Anonymous. I met my wife at a friendship center in Barrie, and she's from the Mi'kmaq Nation of, she's part of the Halibut tribe in Newfoundland. So I always tell her she's my Lord Thunder and Jesus girl, right? And so she took me up to her cottage, and she said, "I'm going to show you something." I said, "Okay." She's going to show me something, and you know, and she goes out to the shack and comes out, and brrrm, she got a chainsaw. Eh? She knew how to use a chainsaw, right? I said, "Oh, this is a woman for me." I said, "She could look after Austin in the wintertime. She can go out the bush, cut wood, bring it in, pile it up. You know, that's my kind of woman, right?" You know, we've been together, it's 28 years, but we've been together 30 years. You know, how beautiful life has come, has brought the blessings I got today, each day, as I look in this beautiful community here, and how I look at my brothers and sisters, I look at just my aunts and uncles. Well, most of all, we're all miracles. And that God doesn't make junk, right? That's how I looked at life in my first beginning, in my first 12 years of life, that I was nothing. That's how I was made to feel, right? And that I say to other people, I'm glad I learned about the Western way at a very early beginning and learning about my ways again. And I can incorporate the good and bad in both. And live in that most beautiful way here is look at life through my heart. And how wonderful that way of life is today. You know, I'm going on 43 years of continuous sobriety of AA and NA. How beautiful that way of life is. You know, and at 23, I got my first pipe bag. My uncle gave it to me, and it's beautiful, and it has my loon. It has a loon on there, a clan. He said, "One day you're going to receive a pipe." But he says, when you receive the pipe, that's like, that is one of the highest responsibilities you're going to get. That's the highest honor that our people are going to bestow you on. And for the first 3 years, when am I going to get my pipe? When am I going to get my pipe? No humility, eh? It's like, so I went and got my elder. He talked to me about everything, about that pipe, about the pipe stone, how to make it, how it's going to be made, the wood. There's the male and female part. When you use traditional tobacco, we don't use tobacco that you buy in a store because there's about 70 different chemicals. The tobacco I use at work is called traditional tobacco. It only grows about maybe 3 feet, little leaves, and it's beautiful. But it's really harsh. You know, we don't need to inhale that. Because in our teachings, tobacco was the first gift our Creator gave to our people to communicate with. And smudging and learning about all these beautiful traditional four medicines, how we look at and incorporate them in other ways. As Glenn says, with the learning I have gone so far is, you know, I bury people, I marry people, and give them spirit names. You know, I introduce myself as my spirit name. Nigankwit is that first little chunky call that you see before the rain. You know, so, but there's a more meaning to it. That's just a more of a joking way I say it, right? Because of my body. And Glenn says, he introduced me as Potawatomi. I am Potawatomi, and I'm MVP, Most Valuable Potawatomi, so my pot is, you know, so, yeah, so I'm getting a little earthy here, sorry. But, you know, I'm able to laugh at Austin today. I can joke and take not take life so seriously. There's times to be serious and there's times for us to be silly, you know. And I feel very comfortable and blessed to be here today amongst you beautiful people, how I look at life today and getting that pipe, sir, getting that pipe and my ego, getting the first ego feather. I was 5 years sober when I got my first ego feather. Again, that's the highest honor that our people can receive from an elder, you know, is an ego feather. And because that ego helps your spirit travel to the spirit world with the Thunderbird in the Western Roar. And how beautiful that is, you know, and not a lot of people, there was a time there people were giving people ego feathers for not even knowing why they were getting them or presented them, right? You know, so when I was given my ego feather, I was taken aside and I was taught about that ego feather. How beautiful that is, each string that meets the whole feather. And you're going to learn each strength is your road, how many roads there are in life that you're going to go and to live in that most beautiful way of life at the beginning, right? You know, to be yourself. Don't try to be somebody else. Be yourself. And that's who I am today. I always say to people, I'm a Bush Indian, you know, and I come from the res. You know, I partied around the corner here, the Brule and the Commodore. I rode that mechanical bull down the Commodore. You know, I don't think I last 2 seconds. I was too drunk. But those are I look at the memories and people say, you know, I remember my last drunk. You know, I probably have another one in me. Do I have a recovery? I don't think so. I don't think so. So today I have that on my, I always say I have these things, the guilt, the shame, remorse, bitterness, all these things on my arm. And I say them to myself to acknowledge them, acknowledge, accept them, and let them go. And to live the best life I can in my traditional way of life. And helping people where they're at. When I work with people, I don't come with an agenda. I ask them, you know, my wife had a breach. My oldest son, he would have been 29. And Kelly had a breach. And, you know, I brought my little boy home. And I told my, second week of January. And my elder told me what to do, and I lit a fire and made ceremony. I dug a hole at the back where I was going to bury me in my property. As I'm looking up, I see Kelly looking at me through her house in her backyard. And this snow is just batao. And I'm digging, trying to get to here past that door, right, to where I'm going to have my ceremony of fire and where I'm going to bury my son and everything else. And that took me about 3 or 4 hours to do. And I'm sweating away, but I get concentrating. I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this for my son. I got to do this for my son. I wrapped him up and dug a hole and put him in there and said my prayers and offered my offering. And, you know, as my as I thought about it, my son brought me love for 9 months. You know, I would rub Kelly's tummy, you know, and say, hey, sonny, how are you? This is daddy. You know, I rubbed her tummy and all this. The love and joy that he brought into our house, me being a father for the first time. I like, wow, me, a drunk, you know, sobering up and being a daddy for the first time. I never thought in my wildest dreams I would ever have a wife and a daughter, I mean a son. And oh, and I have to be honest, I was a little angry again. But I knew where my son was going. My mother and my dad was going to take care of him till I come up to the spirit world. You know, and Kelly was just learning about this way of life too, and it took a while for her to understand that. And now today she understands that. She does wonderful teachings. She's more an outspoken person than I am. Even when she yells at me. No, just kidding. You know, and so how life today is beautiful for me is I can make life as hard as I want or as easy as I want. And I'm sort of lazy, so I take the softer way. No, I work as hard as I can to help my brothers and sisters that are struggling with addictions. You know, I was at a meeting a Friday night taking people and And it's really nice to see these younger ones today. And also, too, I really love the children that were here this morning and how wonderful that people were walking in time as our brother was singing, his wife, his partner were singing up there. And people were, you know, at church, we'd be getting slapped. You know, so you sit there, you know. And, yeah, it's such a beautiful feeling, a beautiful, it's love. That's what I could say, is the love. You've accepted me to come here and talk about my story a bit. You know, how beautiful that way of life is for me today, is I have a strong faith today. And in my language, I call him Jim Nadeau. And I was able to learn to call him God. Sometimes I say good orderly direction, G-O-D, good orderly direction. Or in AA, we call them group of drunks. You know, so, but we have that spiritual awakening. I don't know when my spiritual awakening happened to me. It's, I guess, when my attitude started to change. My life started to change for looking at life in a more positive way of life. And again, I thank those Greek people. They were beautiful people. The guy, he says, you work? Yeah, I work. No, you work for me tomorrow. Pardon? I don't even know you. You come tomorrow, 4 a.m. Okay, I go and work with you, went over there, and he had a fruit stand. So we set up the fruit stand on Pape and Danforth. I helped him, you know, and every day, every day I walk by for a shop, you take whatever you want, you know. So I had fresh fruit every day. I remember, I think I told Glenn this, I was 6 or 7 years old, my cousin come over, and she'd come up and she had these two yellow things in her hand, eh? And she's eating one, and I said, hey, Rose, you know, Roseanne. Hey, Rose, what is that? She said, it's a banana. What's a banana? Well, it tastes good. Well, can I have a bite? She said, no, I only have two. So when you come to my home, Kelly bought me a fruit bowl, and I have fruit in my in my fruit bowl all the time now. And I eat a lot of fruit, you know, so, and got a habit of those fruit stickers, and I would put them all over the kitchen, living room, everywhere. I put one on my dog, on my cat, you know. So Kelly and I were talking about end of life for me, eh? Because we're starting to plan those things, and what I want to do. I says, wow. I says, the first thing I want you to do is tell people to bring their fruit stickers and just put them all over on my casket if I have one, right? You know, it's because that's the way life is for me today, is I can laugh and joke, and because I know where I'm going to go, right? You know, I'm going to go into the ground, but my spirit's going to go up. You know, how wonderful life is today. And I thank you, beautiful people, for, again, you know, inviting me to this beautiful place of worship. How beautiful that way of life is, you know, and that I've been to other places, how beautiful they are, you know, and I've been blessed that way. And I'm blessed again today for you to come and hear about Austin, just a bit of it. I'm starting to ramble, and so I want to thank everybody and say, Chimi Gwech, there's a song. I'm going to sing two songs, and hope you won't be too disappointed. And I asked God at 12 years old, what is my role in life? Can you show me? And we sing this in our lodge now today. I'm not sure if I brought it into the lodge, but I was talking to people and they liked it. And so it goes like this. Ani, ani, egwej, mi one. Ani, ani, egwej, mi onek. Ani, ani, egwej, mi onek. Ani, ani, egwej, mi onek. A wind motion, egwej, mi onek. A wind motion, egwej, mi onek. A wind motion, egwej, mi onek. Wah he he ya, wah he he ya, wah he he ya, wah he he ya. Oh, di kangana. So when I sing that song, I go, wow, hey, 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 at the end is I'm honoring all four colors of man of creation. And I'm going to sing this song for you beautiful women because you taught me to love Austin again. So unfortunately, gentlemen, I'm going to ask you to rise if you don't mind. It's because when I sing this song, we're honoring the first woman that was lowered to Mother Earth. The women sit down. We're honoring just the men stand up. So in our traditional ways, in our creation story, just like the all creation stories are all true, the first man and woman in Christianity was Adam and Eve. In our creation was Meshomis and Nokmis, is the creator of man and woman, and a grandmother and a grandfather. So because of the women that brought me love and this beautiful life, I'm going to sing and honor you in this with this song. Where life starts for me is from the east, where our brother starts, and how I love life today. It goes like this. Wabananginondawa mene togs et kwe. Hey da hey da hey da ho. Hey da hey da ho. Wabananginondawa mene togs et kwe. Hey da hey da hey da ho. Hey da hey da ho. Wa he 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 ya. Wa he 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 ya. Wah, he, 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 yeah. Wah, he, 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 yeah. Oh, the Kangana. Sit down, gentlemen. Thank you so much. And that song talks about that women were given three beautiful gifts. And I see these beautiful children that are around. So some of you women have brought that new gift. As women are the life of our people, you bring that new life. That's the first gift that women were given, is to bring new life. And what surrounds that miracle inside her tummy is that water. And in our culture, we have water walkers, and it's responsible women, traditional women, or all native women, is they go and bless that water for all mankind to have that fresh drinking water. The third part of that song is Minnetogs at Quay. Women have beautiful voices. Is when she raises, when she has that beautiful child, gives birth to that beautiful child, raises for the first time and nurses that child, she sings those beautiful lullabies. You know, that beautiful voice. You know, how wonderful that way of life. It's like you're hearing somebody singing far distance and you say, oh, that person really have a really nice voice. You know, that's what that song talks about, that how women have that gift of love. Miigwech, thank you. Miigwech.